In the thick brush outside Teabing's study, Silas clutched the pistol and gazed through the glass doors. Only moments ago, he had circled the house and seen Langdon and the woman talking in the large study.
Then the woman mentioned the keystone, and everything changed.
Shouts turned to whispers, moods softened, and the glass doors were quickly closed. Now, as he huddled in the shadows, Silas peered through the glass.
The keystone is somewhere inside the house.
Staying in the shadows, he inched closer to the glass, eager to hear what was being said. He would give them 5 minutes. If they did not reveal where they had placed the keystone, Silas would have to enter and persuade them with force.
Grand Master? Teabing choked, eyeing Sophie. Jacques Saunier?
Sophie nodded, seeing the shock in his eyes.
But you could not possibly know that.
Jacques Saunier was my grandfather.
Teabing staggered back on his crutches.
Miss Neveu, I am speechless. If this is true, then I am truly sorry for your loss.
Teabing was silent a moment, and then shook his head.
But it still makes no sense. Even if your grandfather were the Priory Grand Master and created the keystone himself, he would never tell you how to find it.
Mr. Saunier was dying when he passed on the information, Langdon said. He had limited options.
He didn't need options, Teabing argued. There exist 3 Seneschaux who also know the secret.
I guess you didn't see the entire news broadcast, Sophie said. In addition to my grandfather, 3 other prominent Parisians were murdered today.
Teabing's jaw fell.
And you think they were?
The Seneschaux, Langdon said. Teabing looked unconvinced.
But the brothers would never talk. They are sworn to secrecy, even in the face of death.
Exactly, Langdon said. Meaning, if they never divulged the secret, and they were killed. Teabing gasped.
Then the location of the keystone would be lost forever.
And with it, Langdon said, the location of the Holy Grail.
Considering my grandfather's predicament, Sophie continued, it seems possible that in total desperation he tried to pass the secret on to someone he thought he could trust, someone in his family.
Teabing was pale.
But someone capable of such an attack, of discovering so much about the Brotherhood, it could only be one force.
Langdon glanced up. The Church. Teabing heaved an ominous sigh and glanced at Langdon.
Robert, I assume you are familiar with the Priory's final charge?
Langdon felt his breath catch at the thought.
I am.
Miss Neveu, Teabing said, the Church and the Priory have had a tacit understanding for years. That is, the Church does not attack the Priory, and the Priory keeps the Sangreal documents hidden.
He paused.
However, part of the Priory history has always included a plan to unveil the secret. With the arrival of a specific date in history, the Brotherhood plans to break the silence and carry out its ultimate triumph by unveiling the Sangreal documents to the world.
Sophie stared at Teabing in silence.
And you think that date is approaching? And the Church knows it?
A speculation, Teabing said, but it would certainly provide the Church motivation for an all-out attack to find the documents before it was too late. What's more, in terms of prophecy, we are currently in an epoch of enormous change. The millennium has recently passed, and with it has ended the 2,000-year-long astrological age of Pisces, the fish, which is also the sign of Jesus. The Piscean ideal believes that man must be told what to do by higher powers. Now, however, we are entering the age of Aquarius, whose ideals claim that man will learn the truth. The ideological shift is enormous, and it is occurring right now.
The Church calls this transitional period the end of days, Langdon added. Sophie looked skeptical.
As in the end of the world?
No, that's a common misconception. It refers not to the end of the world, but rather the end of our current age, Pisces. Now that we've passed into the age of Aquarius, the end of days has arrived. Slowly, Sophie pulled the cruciform key from her sweater pocket and held it, trembling, out to Teabing. Teabing took the key and studied it.
My goodness, the Priory's seal. Where did you get this?
My grandfather gave it to me tonight before he died. This key provided access to the keystone.
Teabing looked thunderstruck.
You've seen the keystone?
We've removed it, Sophie said.
What? You removed the keystone from its hiding place?
Don't worry, Langdon said. The keystone is well hidden.
Extremely well hidden, I hope.
Actually, Langdon said, unable to hide his grin, that depends on how often you dust under your couch. The wind outside Chateau Villette had picked up, and Silas's robe danced in the breeze as he crouched near the window. Although he had been unable to hear much of the conversation, the word keystone had sifted through the glass on numerous occasions.
It is inside.
The teacher's words were fresh in his mind. Enter Chateau Villette. Take the keystone. Hurt no one. Now, Langdon and the others had adjourned suddenly to another room, extinguishing the study lights as they went. Feeling like a panther stalking prey, Silas crept to the glass doors. Finding them unlocked, he slipped inside and closed the doors silently behind him. Lieutenant Calais and his agent stood at the foot of Lee Teabing's gated driveway and gazed up at the massive house. Calais's phone rang.
Where exactly are you, Lieutenant Calais?
Fache demanded, sounding not nearly as pleased with the development as Calais would have imagined. Calais gave him the address.
I'm coming out, Fache said. Don't make a move. I'll handle this personally.
But Captain, you're 20 minutes away. We should act immediately. I have 8 men with me.
Wait for me. That's an order.
Fache hung up. Hundreds of miles to the south, a chartered Cessna Citation raced northward over the Tyrrhenian Sea. Despite calm skies, Bishop Aringarossa clutched an airsickness bag, certain he could be sick at any moment. His conversation with Paris had not at all been what he had imagined. Alone in the small cabin, Aringarossa twisted the gold ring on his finger and tried to ease his overwhelming sense of fear and desperation. Everything in Paris had gone terribly wrong. Closing his eyes, Aringarossa said a prayer that Bezu Fache would have the means to fix it. Teabing sat on the divan, cradling the wooden box in his lap. He felt its weight on his legs and admired the intricate inlaid rose on the lid.
Open it,
Sophie whispered. Teabing ran a palm across the wooden lid, feeling the texture of the inlaid flower.
The rose, he whispered.
He slowly unlatched the lid and raised it. As his eyes gazed upon the contents, he knew in an instant it could only be the keystone. He was staring at a stone cylinder crafted of interconnecting lettered dials.
Designed from Da Vinci's diaries, Sophie said. My grandfather made them as a hobby.
Teabing lifted the heavy cryptex from the box, holding it gently. Although he had no idea how to open the cylinder, he sensed his own destiny lay inside. In moments of failure, Teabing had questioned whether his life's quest would ever be rewarded. Now those doubts were gone. He could hear the ancient words, the foundation of the Grail legend.
Vous ne trouvez pas le Saint Graal. C'est le Saint Graal qui vous trouve.
You do not find the Grail. The Grail finds you. And tonight, incredibly, the key to finding the Holy Grail had walked right through his front door.